What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're here on Wednesday.
Sorry we're late today, guys.
It's fine.
It's fine. Been a
we're right on time, by my approximation.
There you go.
So we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It is Wednesday. Every single week, we do a What Could Have Been Wednesday. This one's more of a What Could Be. We're going to be talking about Paul George. What could be if he came back on opening night?
Ooh.
Should he come back on opening night?
Short answer, please no.
But we're going to be kicking things off with a little bit. Big news in Clipperland. Ballmer invested $100 million into the city of Inglewood.
Incredible.
Seems really great. So we're going to be talking about that. And then we're going to be wrapping up with everybody's favorite. You know, everybody's favorite because it's the only every daily off-season
segment.
Piece of content.
Yeah.
Which is shavings.
Oh, yeah.
AKA the loose ends. This is where we kind of, you know, everything else goes there. It's if you have a miscellaneous folder on your desktop, this is what goes in there.
And if you guys have any shavings you want us to talk about, if you see something interesting, if you see a really cool counterfeit Clippers shirt or something like that, send it to us at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mock, at Will Updike. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We love talking about user-generated content.
We do.
It's a good time.
So let's get into it. Let's go.
Want to give a quick shout out. Look, as I speak on this podcast today, I am wearing...
Charles looks homeless.
I'm wearing joggers.
He has a hoodie with the hood up, and we're inside.
It's cold. What I need is a dang suit.
You do.
Will, where can I get a suit?
Only one place. They're only made at one place, and it's Indochino.com.
There we go.
It's a premium menswear company. And right now, you Locked On listeners can get a scream of a deal on an already good deal on a suit.
What?
Any premium suit. $369.
I have that exact amount of money in my bank account.
They said we could go as low as 368. I said our listeners would prefer 369. So just enter the code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, all one word, at Indochino on the checkout. Guys, Indochino is great. You can customize your suit. You can choose the amount of vents you want on the back. You can choose the amount of buttons. If you're going more than two, I don't know what you're doing. If you're going double-breasted, once again, I don't know what you're doing, but you have the option.
You have the option. All right, let's get into this Ballmer investment. Ballmer invested $100 million into the neighborhood of Inglewood.
Woo!
Shout out Mayor Butts. Mayor of Inglewood.
Big Butts fans here.
Big Butts fans here. The previous high for an investment in the local area by a sports owner, $18 million. So Ballmer effectively punted that into the stratosphere with this.
Was that a Dolan investment or?
Oh, God, no. That, I believe, was the Warriors.
Gotcha.
The only things Dolan investing in is, I don't know, new
the Warriors
members?
Invested in Inglewood?
No, just for their own. I'm talking about any area.
Oh, any area. I got you. I got you.
That would be great if the Warriors were just like, hey, shout out Inglewood.
I thought you meant that it was an Inglewood-specific donation by a sports team. Gotcha.
No, this is even more impressive. This is any area.
Yeah, no, that's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. There's some great quotes in here.
Great flex by Steve.
So we talked about this last year when LeBron was just going off with gracious things.
Mm-hmm.
This... If you want to be seen as a cool billionaire, which, given our current times, is kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
Billionaires aren't really the coolest people. You need to do things like this.
Absolutely.
You need to stunt by contributing, I don't know, 20 times more than anyone's ever contributed to the local area that you're also privately funding the stadium for.
I'd still attest no human being deserves or needs $1 billion, but...
Agreed.
You know what? That's for another podcast.
What if you're, yeah. If
Locked you're, On Reds is going to be later on.
But if you're doing it like this, Ballmer's doing it the right way.
He is. He really is. And I think it's cool, you know, a modest $12.75 million going to educational programs. So, a bit high, if you ask me.
Okay. Yeah. He had a great quote in here. He said, "No homes need to get moved, but we need to be a good neighbor."
I love that.
Which really makes my heart kind of full. I think both of us, you know, obviously plans with a giant new stadium are kind of murky.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I were both kind of worried that there was going to be some displacement issues.
Absolutely.
Which I'm not entirely sure if my fears are 100% satiated or subdued.
Uh-huh.
But this definitely seems like a step in the right direction for not disrupting a local community, a neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to parse apart. You know, if I like take off my Clippers rose-colored glasses.
And put on your dirty economist glasses.
Yes. because, you know, there, anytime you're doing a project of this type of magnitude, you're talking about severe economical, sociological impacts on a neighborhood.
For sure.
That really can't be separated from the capitalistic intents of said project.
For sure.
But it does really seem like they are doing their best to keep this as... I guess
not
sustainable
as
the
complete opposite
or conscientious as they can.
Yeah, it's literally, I think, the complete opposite of how stadiums used to be built.
Well, yeah,
which is great. It's privately funded.
Yeah,
he's investing $82 million more than have ever been invested in the local neighborhood.
Yeah, for sure.
But I see. I agree with what you're saying. There is just a slight kind of
It's just a hesitance. Yeah, a skeptical.
Yeah.
I
think hesitate's a better word because I'm not against it.
Yeah, I would say I'm like optimistically hesitant.
There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, it's even the rhetoric that they're going into this with is a lot better than like the idea when they were just starting to build the Rams Stadium was like, hey guys, there's going to be ultra premium stuff. They were like before the ground had even been laid, they were like, oh yeah, so the plan is we're going to get the most expensive condos possibly in Los Angeles,
yeah,
right here. There's going to be like a direct tunnel
plus
to
a Gucci store.
Yeah. So I, you know, and you know, shout out to the Rams. I'm sure they do something for the community too. I don't know, but
you're a Ravens fan. Makes sense. You don't know.
I mean, so I think the intent is there. As to how that'll all pan out, you know, TBD.
For sure. $80 million of this is going towards affordable housing, assistance to renters, and first-time home buyers.
Which is great.
That's a look. If there's one thing that Ballmer does well, other than seemingly investing and running a sports team, it's hiring good PR people.
Yeah. Because we still also don't know the details of any of this.
Yes. The donation is fantastic. It's fantastic. This is just a donation. Maybe some of you are saying, doesn't this just feel like he's paying $100 million to be allowed to have his arena in Inglewood? Maybe, but at least it's in a positive way. There's some other things. When we were at the Playbook 4, the most recent one, and they were talking about the arena, maybe it was the last one, sorry. There's stipulations in the new arena that a certain percentage of employees have to be hired from the surrounding area.
Yes.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
It's already in land that the FAA...
Once again, though, doesn't dictate at what positions.
For sure. The FAA has said a couple things about how like the noise is so crazy that the arena's placement isn't displacing any housing or stuff like that. I hope it keeps going as well as it's going.
Yeah.
I think that like kind of passive hesitation, I think you said, is great because it all sounds and looks great right now.
Yeah.
But as we know with giant construction projects... In Los Angeles, sometimes things can go bad.
Sometimes the best laid plans
don't work. Would you say, before you heard about this, now that you've heard about this, what is your 1 to 10 excitedness level for this process? Arena, I'm already very excited.
Yeah, arena, I'm already excited. I guess this just like reiterated or reestablished that they are trying to take a responsible approach to it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it makes me... I guess it makes me slightly more excited.
Yeah. No, it's not bad news.
Yeah.
And it's not even news that I have tried to find some dissenting opinions that are actual dissenting opinions as opposed to just Clippers suck about this whole situation. There's not a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to see he's doing a good move and continuing to cement himself as the best owner in all of sports. I'm saying it. He's the best owner in all of sports.
I like it.
There's a hard case against him, I would say.
Yeah, I think it all seems great. Do you think that we're still on track for 2024?
Dude, with how the Rams stadium looks and everything, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how long construction takes.
I mean, LAFC, I feel like, did it pretty quickly.
True. But they're not as... It's not as ambitious of a project as what Ballmer's doing.
That's true.
You know what I mean? They're going to have, I mean, team facilities are going to be here, practice facilities, medical, the whole thing is going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're on track for 2024, and I don't say that as a skeptic. I say that as someone who has no idea how long constructions take.
I don't know either.
And there's still stuff with Dolan?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm going to say...
2024 seems perfect.
I'm going to say, And maybe this sounds overly cynical, but this seems like a good way to grease the wheels to move forward towards that 2024 date.
I like that. I like that level-headed. Yeah, I agree with that. Let us know if you guys think we're going to be in there in 2024. I think so. Maybe 100 more mil will do it. I don't know. Why not? Coming up after this, we're going to be talking PG's Rehab on What Could Have Been Wednesday.
Welcome to the Parallel Universe.
Where are we?
This is where we take a look at things. What could have happened if things turned out a little bit differently? What could be if things turn out differently than we expect?
This one's kind of weird because we're just still in this universe, I would say.
Yep.
So get your ass out of the time machine. We're still in this universe.
Thank God we don't have to think about the butterfly effect on this episode. Oh, first time.
First, oh, chapstick for all my butterfly effect heads out there. There's been a bunch of footage released of the Clippers practicing and having a great time and looking in good shape. As Will mentioned, there's the strong effect filter on every single thing where everyone's moving real fast and it looks crisp. Zubats looks great. PG looking like he's playing basketball despite a timetable that we have been told possibly he's going to miss all of November.
Might never touch a basketball again.
Or he might never play again. No, that has only been a few people who've yelled that at us on Twitter. What's going to happen? What do we think? So there's no updates on his rehab other than these videos, mm-hmm. which are making people huff hope.
I would say the...
Right?
Yeah, people are delirious on hope.
It seems unsafe. To be this high on hope.
Look, guys, there's having a good time, and then there's having too much fun.
Yeah, I don't... Do these videos change your timeline of when Paul George is going to play?
Not really.
NBA basketball.
Not really. Okay. I still, like, I'm pretty sure I've stayed consistent in saying that, like, we'll probably see him in November.
Yeah.
Like, end of November.
For sure. It is a tough month. That is one of our tougher months.
It is a tough month. I don't know. I guess where I'm a little quick to maybe pump the brakes on this thing, because I don't want to be a bummer. You know, it's great.
Sounds like you're about to tell us all to put our seatbelts on.
Seen him, it was great. But you know, you shouldn't hang your head out of the window like that. There's telephone poles. There's all sorts of debris. Not to mention, you're just not even wearing goggles. You could get a piece of dust in your
Paul
eyes.
Paul George is the kid who's like giving the driver a wet willy in this scenario,
yeah.
is what you're saying?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is people are... saying opening night, I just still don't think that that's gonna happen. I also just don't think that it's necessary.
I agree with both points, I think. So I was pretty hyped when I saw it, but it's hard to not be psyched when it's, you know, like you said, there's the effect. Everyone's looking really fast, despite it probably being a regular type scrimmage type thing. I was really excited to see the progress. I think if we get off to not the best start, he might be there halfway through November.
Okay.
That's the earliest that I would maybe want him to come back. And that is only if we hit the classic, you know, newly constructed, quote unquote, super team early hiccups.
Yes.
Which still might happen again once he comes back, which now that I am... talking all those out might make them want to consider if he's ready coming back sooner to get over that initial hiccup. I don't know if that's true or not. I just talked that out in real time.
Well, this is an interesting point. Talking about like the underperformance historically of super teams a lot of times when they get put together.
But the regular season is not the goal. So I do know that they're just like, who cares? You know?
The regular season is not the goal. We have a tragic history with injuries. And I do think that there's something kind of interesting about introducing one piece at a time versus trying to integrate both guys into the offense in a game scenario at the same time.
I really like that.
Whereas I think staggering them... I mean, obviously, I do think that Paul George's return timetable is longer than what we will see Kawhi, because I'm guessing we will see Kawhi in the opener.
Damn, I hope so.
So I think that like
that will be not a fun opener if he's not playing.
Yeah, that in terms of like getting the pieces kind of gelling together, I think makes sense. It also makes sense that there's just no need to rush it.
That's the biggest thing for me that's fist fighting my hope right now, mm-hmm. is that there's no true pressing reason as of 2:22 p.m. September 11th, 2019, for him to be brought back.
All right,
we have the luxury.
I got a flip side.
Okay.
To maybe why he should be brought back early.
Okay.
Are you ready to take an L at Staples Center opening night against the Lakers?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not think that was going to be your answer.
I'm 100% ready.
So
I'm ready because it fuels the same mentality we had last year.
I agree, but I think the thing is...
I'm not ready for our mentions if it happens, but I'm ready for it to actually happen.
And here's my thing, and I'm not gonna predict a loss or anything. I am going to predict that the Lakers are going to come at us harder than they will for the rest of the season because of A, health, B, fatigue, and, you know, Avery Bradley will probably put on 5 or 10 pounds between now and the next time. He's got to eat at some point.
I swear, he gets up to 145, we're done.
So I think that opening night is gonna be a challenging game, and I do think that this could be the one that we lose to the Lakers and then win the next three during mm-hmm. the regular season.
Handedly, of course.
But I think that opening night just because of all the expectations on us, just because of, you know, like working these guys into a new system, and probably not having Paul George, I think we might be in line for a punch in the mouth.
It might happen.
It's nothing that I'm going to read into, which is just why I'm prefacing it right now.
It's September. It's okay to think about.
But, like, I don't know. I guess I've been thinking about that more and more. Like, LeBron has so much more to prove than, mm-hmm. I mean, any season opener he's ever been in his entire career.
Same with AD, you could argue.
Probably same with AD.
Same with Dwight.
I mean.
Got to prove that haircut.
Got to prove that haircut. So I don't know if that will be enough to like vault them over us, but.
But they're going to come out swinging.
I think that they are going to come out swinging harder than they will any other time we have to face them during the regular season.
If we do lose that game, mm-hmm. I am already visualizing it in my head when a reporter asked Kawhi, you know, it was your first game for the Clippers in the stadium. You guys lose the Lakers. How does that make you feel? And Kawhi goes, just opening night. And that's the end of it. I think that's what happens. I think if we lose, it fuels that. Fine. This is just another thing that we have to bounce back from. Because the overreaction, if this team starts slow, is going to be swift.
The overreaction is going to be unreal.
It's going to be
That's another swift. Reason why I'm easing into this. Before we get into the regular season. Guys, we're not going to go 82-0.
Get out.
I can confirm that with 100% authority. We're going to lose some games. We're going to take... probably a few thumpings.
I don't know about that. I don't know if we're going to get thumped.
I don't think we're going to get thumped in the season opener, but I think that there might be a couple games during the regular season.
Maybe some load management games.
Yeah,
maybe
where some guys are out. And, you know, we take a couple L's.
I mean, we did need...
This team took a couple big L's in April last season with continuity of guys having played like, you know, around 20 games together.
We needed ex-Clipper Mike Scott to go on a revenge game against the Hawks to beat us last year.
Yeah.
At one point. I think that's a fair thing. Paul George's rehab, scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you when you saw the videos? Did it make you think his rehab was progressing?
So here's the thing. I feel like I've always been really optimistic about
the shoulder, for sure.
The rehab itself. I think that I may be a little bit more pessimistic on an actual return date than mm-hmm. other people. But more than anything, I feel like it just confirmed that this is not a major injury.
Great point. I didn't even think about that.
It's, you know, it was not a major injury. It's not something that we have to worry about permanently affecting his shooting motion.
Yeah.
It's about what I expected. I'm not reading too much into it because... in my opinion, there wasn't a whole lot to read into in the first place.
Yeah.
It's a very routine procedure. And
we outlined a very detailed process of how he's coming back.
Yeah. So I think if anything, like it's good to see, you know, like it's good to see as a fan. It's fun and gets me excited. But it doesn't like it for me. It doesn't change what I thought about his timetable return was.
I think that you're right. I think the comforting factor of it of being like, oh damn, all right, he's out there, he's moving around. It's not a situation where he can't lift anything or do anything. I think that's what people should take away from it. Let us know when you guys think Paul George is going to play. Most people think around November, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Totally happy with that. Coming up after that, we got...
Which isn't even missing that many games.
It's really not. And we got so much depth. Coming up after this, we got some shaving, some loose ends.
Yeah. I got one last note.
Let's do it.
Move on.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the wrong thing to say, but...
Whoa.
I'm excited for Paul George to not play a few games.
Just going back to what you were saying earlier about easing into the super team thing?
I want to see what our other guys can do.
Okay.
I want to know what Landry looks like this season as a starter.
For sure.
I want to know what Jamichael looks like as a starter. I want to see how Zubats can step up as a defender.
Keep going, man.
You know? I mean, like, I'm just telling you.
I'm into it.
I think that there's value to not having the crutch of having two superstars.
There's a silver
lining.
Right
off the bat.
Yeah, there's a silver lining of only, quote-unquote, having one top five guy.
Yeah, and even still, I hope that even from the beginning of the season, we're conservative with his minutes.
Yeah, if it's going well, I don't see why they won't be. They have said there's no restrictions, and I think some people have read that as like Kawhi is going to play 82 games. Don't think that's going to happen.
He ripped the governor off. The brick is on the gas pedal.
Yeah, he's playing 82 games every minute. That's a good call. I like that optimism. Coming up after this, we got some shavings and some loose ends. Okay, so we got to talk about Team USA.
Losers.
Losing to France.
No, I
Rudy
think
Gobert's
that,
so damn good at basketball.
Oh yeah, I think that the French team is good. I haven't been excited about FIBA. I haven't really been following it.
The only people excited about FIBA are living in Boston right now because Team Boston just lost to Team France.
Yes,
that's what happened.
Yeah, the Boston Celtics just lost to the French national team. Bummer for them, but it's
dude that okay. We were talking about how Shamit won't play, mm-hmm. and how I want him to get the coaching. You want him to play in the Drew League. It's nice that Shamit won't feel the shame of losing to France. No disrespect to France. Does this mess up? Could this possibly mess up the Celtics' chemistry? Like, because in the back of your head, you're thinking, dog, we couldn't even beat France. France is good, and international basketball is different than the NBA. But like your whole bench core just lost to France.
I like this. It's already proved to be a somewhat tumultuous locker room.
Yeah, and now like, I mean, thank God Kyrie's not on the team anymore. But is this something they're gonna maybe keep in the back of their minds, dude?
I hadn't thought about this until you just brought it up. But the answer is yes.
Think if four Clippers were on Team USA and we lost to France.
Yeah.
I would be like, this is going to mess with our team cam, something.
Yeah.
It's going to throw something off.
Well, especially if it's like your top guys, except, I mean, I guess Hayward, other than Hayward.
Who?
But it's like all the top guys that play for their team.
It's their guys.
Yeah.
Tatum got banged up. Smart got banged up.
Like if Team USA this year was... Beverly, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Jamichael Green, and Ivica Zubats, and we lost to France.
Well, I don't think Zubats would play on Team USA.
I mean, he might, you know?
He'd get an exemption.
It's like, I got a green card, I can play here now.
But yeah, that would suck.
It would super suck.
It would really suck. What do we... Is this going to make Redeem Team and FIBA a thing?
I don't know.
Redeem Team should only be reserved for the Olympics.
I agree. But I do think... that this does make FIBA a little bit more interesting. I think that this makes...
Which I think was their goal.
I think that this proves just how great the level of international competition has been. And not that there haven't been great teams, not that our best of the best haven't been put out there before and gotten tested.
For sure.
By other teams and other countries. And I just think that the level of where global basketball at right now is just... I mean, it's got to be better than it's ever been, right?
I think every year it gets better, and I think this really shows people how different world basketball is in the NBA.
Yeah.
The guys on Hoops and Brews, fantastic podcast, if you don't listen to it, we're talking about the difference. They're like, it's a different game than the NBA. They play NBA basketball in the NBA. You go to international basketball, Luis Scola is giving you 20 and 10.
Yeah.
And some dude who, like, lives in Greece and, like, plays in the local league is destroying you.
Yeah.
Because the game is so different. One rule they need to bring over is that as soon as the ball touches the rim, you can smack the hell out of it. I love that rule.
Oh, yeah.
They bait, like, the round the cup rule.
Yep.
The athletes in the NBA might make it so scoring drastically goes down, but it would be pretty cool to see.
It'd be great.
Oh, man. One other quick shaving. Doc was on the Woj pod.
Yeah.
With Eric Spoelstra. Mostly talking about Boston and Miami series. It was kind of a cool listen. Doc had the great quote, if I didn't play for Pat Riley, I don't think I'd ever coach the game, which was pretty cool. And then he talked about how hard it is to make adjustments once you're in, like, the championship game. He's like, you're right. What you do all the time brought you here.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing that you did consistently brought you here. So when you get to the playoffs, you're like, what adjustments do I make? Like, he's talked about before, there's, like, little wrinkles. He used, like, a play from Austin's, like, AAU team against the Heat one year. And it's just really cool to see how I think sometimes Doc gets, guff for being kind of quote-unquote stubborn, which I think every NBA coach is, because you're an NBA coach, you got yourself here. But I feel like he's been more open about talking about making these small adjustments. Like when we played the Warriors.
Yeah.
He was like, you kind of see everything they're going to do. But I don't know if it's about him maybe doing more media, but I like him talking about his process more because I think that helps him.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's talking about how he goes through things.
Helps him be a little bit more introspective.
Yeah, and he's with Spo, who's one of the best coaches in the NBA. So it's really nice to see them just like bounce these ideas off each other.
Yeah.
Do you think Doc's in line for Coach of the Year this year?
I do not.
Oof, just too hard given he got a bunch of talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the last 2 years, really strong.
He should have got it last year and the year before. He should be back-to-back Coach of the Year.
Like, really strong performances for both of those. So it's hard. I mean, he also has just been up against really hard competition. I think it's really going to be hard to win favor in voters' eyes with
yeah,
this team.
You got two top guys giving to you.
But, TBD, things could change, especially if we do, like we mentioned in the previous segment, face adversity early. That could be something that could be a way to, you know, possibly bolster his favor there. But I don't know. I think that it deserved to happen certainly 2 years ago and, like, for sure last year. But
yes.
I do understand there was also really stiff competition. Obviously, Dwayne Casey, what he did was great.
Yeah.
And then
Budenholzer.
I mean, you know, that one was overdue.
Old Boods.
Yeah.
That's what they call him.
The bud.
Yeah, and I don't think he cares, which is nice too.
No.
He
cares about one thing.
The chip.
Yeah.
He cares about the chip, which is what this whole team cares about, which is another reason why if we maybe start slow, ain't no thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do yo thing. Any other shavings you got?
No, man. Only worried about the chip.
That's all I'm worried about, bro. I'm looking in the shavings drawer. All I want to see is that Larry O'Brien.
I'm actually not even going to be commenting on anything else until April.
Perfect. That's gonna be really fun for me hanging out in the stew.
Be here physically.
Just not speaking. Oh, I got one more shavings. My customized PG-13s come in today.
Oh, way to go, buddy.
Very excited. At the time when I was trying to buy something Clippers related with the gift card I got for my birthday, there were three items in the Nike store.
What they have?
They had, I believe they had a women's jersey, like the fit, like the tapered one, like the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what's the issue? Look great.
I mean, I know that, but I wanted a pair of shoes. There was that. There was a couple jerseys that didn't particularly.
What jerseys?
It was Lou.
What's the issue there?
I didn't want a jersey. I'm not anti-Lou. I wanted shoes.
Wow, you heard it here first.
No, but I'm very excited about that. Tomorrow, it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about what we're thirsty for. What we want to see more of.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe what we want to see less of.
Yes.
We're going to be having just another classic shavings.
And we do it every day at this point.
And reporting whatever happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks.